Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome. You have tuned in to Awakenings, one of the places for the converging flow. I'm your host, or as I like to say, co-pilot, Michelle Mache. Those of you that are just tuning in and perhaps just finding Awakenings or perhaps listening via iTunes, want to welcome you also. And just let you know that Awakenings airs every Wednesday and Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. It's great to see all of you that are already in the chat and coming online. And as I always say, you know, Awakenings is really about all of us, and it's really, I think, expanding so much is because of all of you that are listening and also sharing your ideas and wanting certain guests coming back. By the way, and thanks to all of you, I mean, I do get amazing feedback about all of you as listener participants, and most people that have been on have come on a second and a third time, so I get those emails, or my assistant gets the emails, Linda, that we're open for to come back, so that's nice, because I really, the space that's held here is for everyone to share their insight, their understanding, and their wisdom, and to relay their own path of awakening and the succession of awakenings that they're having. And not only that, but what are they doing with this awakening? What are the changes that are happening in one's life personally, and how are they affecting change for others? That's a key component of this age of waking up and realizing the truth of who you are, or is our, we're going to dive in later with our guest, where you are, where are you actually. So, you know, some of us, maybe long-time metaphysicians or esotericists, you know, have either lived this or known this or experienced this, but the exciting thing is that this information is now becoming more mainstream. It's going to be in the race consciousness, so which means that it will change the way people live and relate to themselves and others to move beyond illusion or delusion. I think you could hear it, if those of you that listened to the inauguration, and I have friends all over the world and of course locally that were texting me and emailing their hope. And one thing I want to tap into on that too, that it's not so much about the man. Let's kind of just look at the representation of a consciousness. So I think some people get caught up in that it's this person that's doing all this, though the being obviously, you know, and of course I'm talking about Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, obviously is amazing being as great, but we want to watch those projections to anyone, you know, whomever it is, that it's a representation of the consciousness that is evolving and being extended out there more exoterically, if you will, or overtly. And if you listen to the words that people are saying now, I do this a lot, probably part of my psychological and sociological training, but you can listen to the words that people are saying, whether, you know, it's a TV show, you know, a political pundit, a law pundit, you can hear the words that, and sometimes you can see on their face that they don't even realize what they're saying until after they're saying, and they're realizing that they've said something perhaps that's not characteristic of themselves or their beliefs. You can see it, you know, obviously in books, but books is more intentionalized. But if you start looking at the media, especially visual media, you know, even radio, you will hear the new buzzwords. You will hear you know, again, a way of becoming hip, cool, or chic. You'll hear people trying to Some of them make sense of all this, but others you will hear them saying, you know, well, this is about tolerance, or this is about us coming together. Well, yeah, it is about us coming together. They're kind of shocked that they're saying this, you know, or they're putting forth this viewpoint. And that is that overriding consciousness, I'm going to just put it that way, that is prevailing and coming through, that people have a chance to shift. It's almost like the weather. You can feel it in the air when it's going to rain. You can feel that humidity or that moisture. And we're going to be diving actually into more of that, of why that happens, and those people that are embarking on that consciously and imparting that consciously, and those that are just kind of catching the wave and aren't even realizing what's happening. You know, it's what happens with the masses is actually a form of, you know, hypnosis. So, you know, there could be a good hypnosis, you know, or life-enhancing, you know, let's not say good or bad, life-enhancing trip or non-life-enhancing trip. It's up to you. It's still a perception, a sense in the mind. I do want to touch in also with everyone, our guest, Dr. Jude Kervan, that we had last Thursday, January 15th, the cosmologist and scientist and healer. She did put a link to her site. She had promised, so those of you that are regular listeners were looking for this, and I will put a link on Awakenings to her site, JudeKervan.com, and that's JudeKervan. But she did put a link on the February 14th alignment, the Jupiter and Mars alignment. So she's a cosmologist, so it was interesting that she tapped in on this. You can also, obviously I'll put a link on Awakenings, or you can also send me your email. If you send it to info@selfinlight.com, then I can send you actually what she sent me, because she actually did send me a little write-up and the chart, but it will also be on her website, which I thought that was really nice for her to get that done so quickly, as busy as she is, getting ready to go to Israel and Malta. And also, Dr. Jude will be back with us in June after the First Prophets Conference. So anyway, I just want to re-welcome everyone, and I hope everyone is in a good flow and ready to dive into some pattern changing with our next guest. I've get some great people sent my way that I get excited to listen to, and this guest is definitely in that category. We're going to be talking with the author of The Great Simulator, and I love that on the cover of the book it says, "You are not here." And he's coined this book as your practical guide to recognizing the amazing illusion that you are experiencing. And this is an individual that came from an engineering background, so we're going to find out a little bit about his background and his awakening, and perhaps a few awakenings, and how he came onto this path and to write this book. And by the way, I want to say also, he is very, by what I get by the book and looking also at his site, that very focused on helping others to wake up and realize, you know, where they are, if you will, and kind of how to get off the drama train, or that, off of that movie. So I really want to give a warm welcome to David McCready. Hi, David.
Hello, and good evening.
Good evening to you. That's right. It's 12 here, and you're in the UK, so it's 8 o'clock your time, or a little after.
It's dark outside where I am, and there's some builders still working hard drilling holes in the ground somewhere.
Wow, that's right. So, if you will, because I was a little bit curious, and you go a little bit into it in the book, not a lot. And by the way, also, I'm going to put your website in the chat room so that people, because your book will be out on Amazon, but right now, there's been a delay, I guess, by the broadcast date today.
But you can still get copies through my website, greatsimulator.com. So it's still possible to get copies quite easily.
Okay, perfect. And you have a little bit of a tease, a little bit of an e-book. I first had looked at that. Is that still on the site?
that's on the site for anyone who wants to download a free chunk of the book. About one third of it is available to anyone right now. If they go to greatsimulator.com and just follow the link, they can get it straight away this evening.
Okay. Put that in the chat, yeah. And also The Great Simulator. Yeah, it's a great book, and you go and you have some wonderful, what I call alignment, you know, exercises, and helping people work with the energy.
Well, what we're trying to do there is not really tell people about wonderful things out there, but show them ways of personally experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because for far too long, there are gurus going around telling you how to live and do this and do that, and really knowing these amazing things and developing amazing mediumistic skills and the ability to astral project is something that everyone should be able to do.
Absolutely.
When you mentioned earlier in the show, you talked about an awakening going on. It's all part of an evolution that's occurring where firstly, small numbers of people relative to the world's population are getting much more psychically and spiritually capable and aware, but it's growing into a critical mass and growing quite rapidly. So we're in the midst of an evolution right now.
Yes. I like that, in the midst of an evolution. I think, and I want to get your take on this, David, I really think, you know, I feel like it's a time for people to reflect on that and really take that in, that they, you know, many of us are part of this evolutionary process, some more obviously aware, cognitively or consciously aware, and then others it's kind of happening to them. I mean, it's to me it's funny, when I see it, especially on TV, you can literally see, it's almost like people are getting shape-shifted, you know, you can see them, like, saying certain things or doing certain, you know, postures to other people that they normally would not do, and it kind of shocks them a little, and then they kind of settle into it, and it becomes a little bit more their new way of being. Obviously, then there are some that are kind of holding on to the old, you know, curmudgeon-y order, you know, the non-oneness. So.
One way of describing some of what you're seeing is normally we find here we experience being different personalities. You might have one personality at work, one personality when you get home, and some other ones that come and go. And what people are experiencing is new, more advanced personalities suddenly popping in.
Mm-hmm.
So they do start behaving differently, and consciously they don't really know what's happening, but unconsciously they feel these very powerful forces emerging, and it's often a bit of a surprise to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the way that you put that. Yeah, it they aren't aware of it, and it's coming through. One of the people in the chat, Senla, said that they're catching this wave, and it is. It's kind of it's an energetic, since it's an energetic patterning, they begin to feel it, don't they?
Some feel it, some notice it. Most people not at first, but when they pay the slightest attention, they will pick it up. And as part of this wave, one of the things I've noticed in my work, I train people how to be more self-aware, how to go through their own personal awakening. And I've observed that it's become a lot quicker to teach them how to do these things. What used to take months can now take a matter of days.
Yes.
So suddenly it's got easier and they brighten up faster. They often don't realize that this is happening en masse to everyone, but for anyone doing these exercises, there are a lot of new and exciting things happening once you try this awakening, this personal evolution process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. So some of them aren't necessarily aware it's happening to them. Some are noticing, you know, and then others, it almost feels like, you know, something, an alien has gotten in their body, and they're like, they're really, you can see on their face, you know, did I actually say that? Did I actually, you know, now, David, because I'm a little curious, and I know people that are listening are also, how did you come across this, or how did your awakening happen on this awareness? Because you actually left, you were an engineer, and you actually left that and felt this, really this pull or this call, to not, well, help others. I like you very much coming from service on this, which is great.
So, anyway, the one version of the story is that I was working away as an engineer, but I felt there was something else out there, so I was always on the hunt in the local bookshop to see if there are any good books mm-hmm. on the subject. And one day I picked up one on self-hypnosis. Near the back of the book, it mentioned that if you got good at this, you could start doing things called astral projection, where you could get your spirit to travel out of your body. And when you were out and about, you could meet guiding spirits or angelic beings, and these beings would help you do all kinds of wonderful things. So I thought, this is for me, I've got to learn how to do this. And initially I had the idea it would be a great way of learning how to make all kinds of wonderful bets, that I could find someone floating around the heavens who would tell me the next horse racing results or lottery results. Anyway, it turned out that wasn't to happen, that I couldn't find anyone who was going to do that, because there was another path lined up. But it took me a while to learn how to do this, and I had to get a bit of practice in, but after a few years of trying, suddenly I did make that link, and I started to notice there were a lot of other beings around us. Sometimes you might see them as deceased relatives or helpful spirit guides, and there they were. Not only could I link to my own, but I also I could link to other people. And at that point, I felt I'd done enough engineering and building and maintenance, and it was time to start helping people share in this. So that's how the career change came about.
See, I find it interesting. I want to get your take on this. What my experience and understanding has been is we're not only energetically, but on a cellular level, encoded to have these waking up. You know, some people walk a little, right? You know, not everybody speaks at the same time or reads at the same age. Everybody kind of has their... so it sounds like that book and then that experience triggered a deeper awareness or knowledge that you already had inside.
Well, one of the things I like to say about all of us here is we're experiencing a massive amnesia where we've really forgotten most of the important stuff, and we're caught up in this earthly adventure. And to really get into the adventure, it's like watching a good movie. If you wrote the script of a good movie, the whole thing would be ruined when you'd go to see it at the theater. But if you could forget the script you've wrote, then you could enjoy a great story and this great game you get into. So we have this amnesia, and when we're going through these awakenings, bits of it start getting removed. It doesn't seem to be the whole thing normally, but pieces disappear, and you start noticing where you are and what's going on.
Wow, I love the way that you mentioned that. That you're one of the few people that have noticed that there is a succession of awakenings, and I love that you say that. So bits are, you know, the veil obviously is lifted or dropped or dissolved, but the bits of the forgetfulness or amnesia, as you call it, are dismantled or come away, and you have this, understanding or this, clarity. Now, are you finding, David, with the success? Because what I find is some of the awakenings that were in the past, and perhaps it was because we had to mentally, emotionally adjust more, seem to be more heady or intellectual or in certain circumstances. It seems that the awakenings that are happening now, it's having people live differently. It's causing them to somehow change their life more. What is your thought on that?
You're catching the essence on a world movement that's occurring almost by itself. If people looked around. I can explain this a bit better. Originally, there were a lot of books and teachings on this subject, but it was very difficult for people to personally enjoy it.
Mm.
Whereas now, people are becoming much more spiritually and psychically aware. And when they do that, they're connecting to new energy forces. They're tapping into them. And once they tap into these energy forces and ground them down to this earth level we're having a bit of fun on, then it changes their life. It goes from being an idea to something practical. And in my own work, when I'm training people, I try to keep away from the theory too much. I try and say, now, what are the challenges you've got in front of you right now? And let's see if we can apply some higher awareness to what you're doing so that you can apply that awareness on a day-to-day basis and make some use of it. So we get away from the intellectual. And I don't think I'm the only one getting people to do this. I believe there are a lot of other people out there trying to make things much more practical, down to earth, day to day.
Yes, yes, I agree. I as well, do as well, that people have the experience or the feeling of it. I also saw something that I really resonated, and I don't know, I was researching, getting some background information on you for today's segment, and a meditation that you had, or a process, an alignment with the energy, and you were speaking about, you know, drawing the energy down, that most people have the energy, you know, more up, but it's not going all the way through the legs and into the feet, which I actually did it. I don't know where, it was a video somewhere. And I have myself, I have a book out, Meditation for Everyday Living, so I'm very much into what you're talking about, the practical and people being able to tap into this state of being or consciousness or awareness that is us anyway. It's our true nature. So I felt a real, you know, resonance when I saw this. It might have been a YouTube video that, and if you know what it is, let me know, because I want to put it in the chat. It was just amazing. This one, and maybe we can do it a little bit later, this one process that you had, it was. Do you know which one I'm talking about, David, that I'm going on and on about?
I do. I'm politely waiting for a break in. What I can do to you is just after the show, if we have a quick word, we can figure out the precise YouTube link. And then you can put it on the website, because it's one of these horrible letter things that if you said it on there, no one would get it right.
Okay.
But if people are looking on YouTube, following the links back to YouTube, they should find some other things I've done there, and it's in one of them, and it's just a short exercise about how to let more of this energy flow down. And even for people listening in right now, a great way to get a taste of this is to first of all make sure you're sitting up straight, because to do that you need to breathe a lot more deeply, and when you breathe deeply using your lower stomach muscles, you get the air more into your body. And if you do that slowly, you can then start to notice that underneath you is a strange kind of gravity. And I say strange because we're used to the gravity of the Earth, but there's also an energetic gravity that's pulling on us. It's rather as if we're standing in a green field or on a seashore, and there's a gravity that's pulling the brighter light, the real you, down into your body. And if you let that work for you, you can let a lot of these awakening energies come in, and it's pretty much effortless.
Mm-hmm.
It takes away the intellectual work that in fact blocks it getting through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basic exercise. You allow yourself to breathe deeper in a very settled way while sitting or standing straight, breathing into your stomach, and start to feel that natural gravity of nature that's just pulling the bright you in more into your body.
Yeah, and you had, and I could really, I think it was a day, I had a lot going on, and I just saw this, and I immediately could just feel the energy just going all the way through my body into the feet, and I thought, wow, the energy was somehow not getting all the way down. You get this wonderful tingly sensation, and I was quite refreshed after that. As I had a lot to do, it was very revitalizing. I'm going to say not so energizing, because I didn't feel, you know, overly energized or amped, but I definitely felt revitalized. So it was really nice. And somebody put it in the chat, by the way, David. They're very quick here.
They found it. Huh?
They found it, and they know how to do all this techie stuff. You know, they're not just listening, they're participating. They're really... So Kathy has a question, the great simulator, three reasons to pay attention. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Well, the video I put together, when putting together that video, it's the first time I've ever tried putting together a video, but because we can, in our own way, download new abilities, we can often tap into skills, and I tapped into a few of skills to put that video together. So if you're watching it, that's my first attempt ever at making a video to explain what's going on. But the reasons to pay attention, so we start off that science is beginning to notice that we're not even really here at all. The quantum physicists have been hunting around for the matter that makes up Earth, and despite spending billions of dollars looking for stuff, every time they look really closely, they can't find anything. So there's something strange going on there. And the reasons to pay attention, went through a few of them. A great one for people to cotton on to is that we're never victims at all. We, in fact, chose to have the experiences we're having. At first, this seems absurdly ridiculous because there's all kinds of suffering and catastrophe and horrible things happening in the world. But when you go looking deeper, you keep on finding that, for some reason, people chose to get into that situation. And I'm not saying this is a belief or something you have to go along with. Check it out for yourself, because when you look, it does keep on turning out that way. And when you realize that for some reason you chose the challenges in your life, instead of fighting with them, you start to engage with them. And when you engage, you get a much brighter, powerful energy that you didn't know you had. It's rather like saying, okay, well, I want to do it, here it is. I must have the ability to deal with this, otherwise I wouldn't have put myself in this situation. And you get a new strength. A couple of the other reasons also put in, you're not alone in this experience. Much as we feel ourselves walking around here on Earth, in many other ways it looks like you're in an artificial reality room somewhere and all your friends are right beside you. They see you going through this Earth experience, but your friends are right there. And a lot of people listening in will have often felt how they'll have got nudges or communications of one sort or another that have helped them along in their lives to a greater or lesser extent. So saying, well, actually, these friends are with you all the time, but a lot of the time they're not noticing. So we're getting people to recognize this, and as they're recognizing this, then they're letting that evolution happen. They're realizing they're capable of more, and they're seeking out the truth, and that's why you get so many people coming onto a show, because there's a hunger to discover how to access these greater skills.
Yes, and I'm finding too that, I mean, yeah, the hunger for that, because there's such a strong understanding, realization, and feeling that one has to start living this way. You know, it's almost right. It's almost like those that perhaps were using, you know, a typewriter or an old form of, you know, personal data assistant. Now, you know, you feel like, oh, if I don't make the change now, you know, I'll really be behind or I'll lose my data. You know, I think there's that real push or pull or call. Now, one thing, let's dive in, because on the front of the book you have You Are Not Here. So are you likening this to the holographic universe?
Well, if I had heard or read about what people meant by the holographic universe, I know what you mean exactly. But here's how the UNOT here cropped up. Doing a lot of training work with people, getting them to how they'd understand it. They'd got to see the other side or see this kind of astral world that in many ways we're in. And after a while, you begin living out a kind of duality where you're going around your daily business, whatever it is, walking down the street, going to the shops, but at the same time, you sense that you're not walking around at all. It's like you're in one spot. And as I said, you've also got your spirit friends around you who are just there helping you through this adventure. And when they do that, when you relate to people in the spirit world, they're of a view that you're not here on Earth. You're experiencing it very powerfully, but you're not really there.
Mm-hmm.
When I was putting the book together, I got this image of a picture of the Earth and a little arrow pointing towards it with "You are not here," to try and get people to wake up to what they'd notice, what you would have noticed before you were born, and what you're certainly going to notice after you pass on and go back home. So down here it's a kind of duality you can have. You're here and you're not at the same time, and a lot of what's driving your life is much easier to see if you take away the rather constraining Earth image.
So where are you... Yeah, it's making sense. And really, I got to say again, and I think people, you know, really to get the book, I mean, I have a lot of authors on and I don't usually say get the book, but I really, how you have it really laid out and some different exercises than what I have seen before are wonderful. And like you talked about the breathing, the breath is the key. Can you talk a little bit about the changing the pattern, that in a sense that we're changing, are we changing our belief structure or what's what we call the conditioned response pattern that we've perhaps been indoctrinated with? Or
this is very much so, and it's happening at a quickening pace because with what you call a conditioned response, normally how we interact with each other is by an emotional game. We do it by saying nice things to each other to make them feel good and then threaten to withdraw these nice comments if they don't do what we want, or we put people down in various ways to again try and manipulate them. If anyone's ever come against an aggressive salesman in life, they'll have certainly felt emotional manipulation battering against their head. That's the point at which sometimes you want to give in. When you realize that you are not these emotions, there's something greater than that, and you don't have to produce the conditioned response that people want. So, for example, if you don't give the conditioned response people want, they get upset. But you say, okay, they're going to get upset. But I'm not going to respond the way they want. I'm beyond this in many ways. You start to snap out of it, and you start to do things that are more in your own interest. And it also encourages people who are trying to manipulate you and maneuver you around perhaps to do it a bit less because it's not working. Is that answering what's
going on? Yes, it does. So then people have to come up with a authentic response to where they're at now, right?
And they also need to do this with some energy and gravitas. You can't do it in a weak way. You need to come up with something stronger and deeper. And it's by feeling comfortable about what you are. Because so often in what goes on in the world, there's a constant drip feeding of telling you you're not quite good enough. Magazines will probably tell you the wrong shape, or you haven't got enough money, or you need more material, this, that, and the other, to be happy. And what people realize after going through that conditioned response is, well, that they're just getting carried along. They're not really achieving anything. You need that deeper sense of what you are, which comes from that inner spiritual strength. And that's something you and many listeners have often felt over time, they'll have felt that inner strength suddenly emerge. It has an annoying habit of then disappearing again shortly afterwards, but they'll have felt it emerge. And what we're trying to do right now is educate people in simple techniques that allow them to experience that inner strength, that inner power, more often and more reliably, especially when they're under pressure in the normal day-to-day situations.
Yeah, where the illusion seems stronger, right?
Yes.
You talk about, David, in your book, you say that people have to, I love this, because you say waking up is both a science and an art, and that we have to wake up to, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here, wake up to the force that previously kept you asleep, and as you wake up more and more, that force that kept you more asleep begins to diminish.
Well, the force that keeps us asleep was our original desire to have this amazing adventure on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we really wanted to do it. People spend a lot of time and energy trying to break out of it, but the more they can recognize that they wanted to get into that sleepy amnesia state where you've really forgotten where you came from and how on Earth you got here and what's happening, when you're recognizing how much you wanted to do it, you are able to break away from it. And every time you start thinking you didn't want that force imposed upon you, it seems to take over again. There's a rather back-to-front relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So again, for everyone out there, the more you can recognize you wanted this amazing adventure you're in, the more it helps you energize and wake up. And I'm sure there are a few listeners who will actually feel that happening to them right now.
Mm-hmm.
It will cause an energetic shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it as we talk about it more and more, you begin to wake up more. Now, one question I have, I have quite a few, but let's go on this one right now. What about those that were not, that retained the memory? Because there are some of us that came in and we were not overly sleepy. What is it just varying degrees of coming in awake, or how would you describe that?
Well, what happens is many people, they've got fragmented bits and pieces of it, and that's what you'll generally find. It's highly unusual to bump into an individual who's remembering everything. There'd be very few and far between. But you certainly have those pieces. And one of the things I notice in individuals is a lot of them have a sense that they've been living somewhere else before now, and it's kind of hard to fit into this Earth place. They feel like they're trying to fit in, but they can't quite do it. They have a sense that this world is somehow out of line. It's not quite right for them. And they have this battle in life to fit in because they're trying to conform until eventually they realize they're just visiting. And at that point, that is part of their awakening. So these are the kind of individuals who often have that sense of fragments, that there is really something else, even though it hasn't been scientifically demonstrated to them. Also, just on a point you mentioned earlier about awakening being a science and an art, just to explain what I mean by that. In England, I don't know if you have it in the US, they have an expression that you could write something down the back of an envelope, saying that it's not really very complicated. How to have that awakening is quite straightforward. It's about letting your mind rest, not trying to shut it down, and allowing yourself to breathe properly and align. But practicing doing that requires a fair bit of practice, so that's where the art to it comes. You've got to practice every day, and quite a bit. It's not like you have to hide in a room. You could do it walking down the street. You can do it while you're talking to people. You just need to remember that this is something you can do.
What it takes actually and I was reading in the book, and I tend to agree with you as far as my own personal experience, you know, not just reading it in the book, that you do have to, you know, focus on this, you know, do some exercises to, if you will, you know, align or and allow these energies to come through more.
Yeah. Just to mention alignment, by the way.
Yeah.
The thing a lot of people are often trying to do is intellectually align themselves. And one thing they're trying to show in the book is that actually that's largely unnecessary. You can do it intellectually, but a much better way to to do it is actually allowing it to happen.
Yeah.
And because we're not utilizing a support system around us, it's like we're astronauts and there's a mission control all around us helping us through. If we allow our mission control, so to speak, to help align us, we can get that alignment very easily without a great deal of effort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by noticing it's there and not fighting with it.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the things we believe and battle with in life, such as believing a challenge you might want, like a difficult partner or something hard at work, is something ultimately you didn't want to encounter. When you have those sorts of beliefs, it tends to actually interfere with your alignment, and it's harder to deal with those very challenges.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really agree with you, because that was my... with my research and study, and I'm going to say the meditative state, you know, I don't think it's such a big deal to know how to, quote unquote, meditate or have these elaborate meditation practices. Because also what I'm hearing you say, it's your true nature. So it's just allowing, right? That's what I'm hearing from you, that it's...
That's it. You've got it.
Is that it? And you know what's funny, in a way, to me, it's David, this cosmic joke, because... And even you talk about this in the book. You even talk a lot about, you know, just noticing and being and not trying to solve anything or do anything or force anything. It's so contrary to how most of us have been conditioned, especially in the race consciousness or mainstream consciousness, with all this effort and having to do. And really, this new consciousness is really just the opposite. It's more of a allowing... and being, allowing that flow instead of trying to make it happen, in a sense.
Yeah, and to understand how ultimately you were the creator of it. One of the things to help people's understanding of this is, when you're chatting with, on to a better expression, your guiding spirits, your angelic helpers, mission control, whatever we call them here, 100 different names, same crowd, They often find that human beings are busy praying to them and ask them to sort out this problem or that problem, which people who've done these things find you get mixed results at. Sometimes it helps, often enough, it doesn't seem to do a lot. When you talk to your mission control, you'll start to find their job is to help you be more aware. So instead of saying to them, can you sort this problem out, you could be asking them to help sort of drop into your head insights of what am I creating? Now, what am I doing that's causing this to happen? Here's a chain of events. I'm in the middle of this chain. What's my part in this? I must be doing something that's putting me in this challenge, putting me in this piece of the adventure. And they can help you do that a lot, because that's much closer to their real function. They're not there to sort out all your problems. They're to help you engage in your challenges by waking up. That's why you have them. If you didn't have these challenges, you could sit all day on the couch eating pizza somewhere. You wouldn't have to do anything. But with a few challenges, it forces you to do something, and it forces you to use your higher awareness to get you out of tricky situations. And this is a very well-tested and proven system. It seems to work every time. You can have as many lifetimes as you want if you need a few extra goes. But you'll always get there in the end.
So you think we're on this path, is the for lack of a better word, destination assured, in a sense, in just how we get there?
Well, so there's another thing. You'll have found in a lot of the spiritual writings and people who sense the world beyond this that time starts to ebb away. And the strange thing is the linear time, that's one day to another, 1 minute to another, what we experience down here is very limited to this earth world we're on and this physical universe. But once you start moving beyond that, it seems to disappear. So we've got as much time as we want to go through all these challenges and life experiences, and we can have as many turns as we want, which is why people often have past life memories of going through similar things to what they go through now. It's like, well, they've tried it before and they're having another attempt. You've got as many goes as you want, but it's kind of fun to move at a quicker pace rather than spend lifetime after lifetime doing the same thing. A quick example of something cropped up but once I was noticing with a woman I was doing a reading for one day, it struck me that her ex-boyfriend was a very murderous type and in a past lifetime had succeeded in murdering her. Anyway, in this lifetime, the plan was that she'd try not to get murdered by him, and he'd try not to do it. And the last time I checked in, they're both still alive, so they should be getting there.
I love it. Do you find also, Dave, that we're moving, I say this moving into, but actually already happening, and you mentioned this with nonlinear time, two things, more of a synchronistic timing where situations or things are happening more by events, kind of like the turn of the Rubik's Cube, and more of a opening or understanding an experience of simultaneous time or simultaneous reality where people are able to tap into various realities.
I think a good way of describing what's going on is these simultaneous events are now happening at a faster pace, and because they're happening more regularly, we spot quicker. Like 100 years ago, it was certainly happening a lot slower. And another thing to mention to a lot of people listening in is, especially now, we're getting a lot of new generations of people who have quite different energetic abilities. And I certainly noticed that in my own children. For many years I'd seen them floating around the heavens waiting to get born, and they finally showed up, order, boy, girl. So the minimum two kids have showed up, and there's another couple wondering if my wife feels up to it, but so far she said no. Anyway, when they come through, you can often see a lot more of these psychic skills emerging quite young, and I noticed my son in particular was sort of very telepathic as a baby. You could have very limited chats with him. You had to be careful what you said or you don't say it. Other times, he'd sort of, as a 1 and 2 year old, he'd walk around literally looking at fairy-like spirits wandering around the room. I wouldn't have seen anything, but I suddenly see him tracking something across the room as if he was looking out for a fly or a moth. And it sort of paid attention, he suddenly realized it was like a sort of an energetic form blowing around, and as a child he could see it. So more and more with the young people getting born, they're having these skills pre-programmed in, and it doesn't take a lot to get them switched on.
Yes, I agree. You know, in what I find, because I actually used to be a teacher for a while, that one of the differences, obviously the shift in consciousness and the work that's been done ahead of time, that these children, it's not being conditioned out as much or not at all. There's enough group agreement and enough support in the consciousness, you know, in books, in TV, you know, even in the cartoons, in toys, and in most parents, that it's not getting, you know, shut down. Because I saw, you know, even, you know, 15 plus years ago, children would have these abilities, but unfortunately were systematically shut down, not even sometimes by their parents, but by the school system, and think they would go underground because, you know, they didn't want to cause waves, or if they didn't go underground, they did get caused, you know, a bit of a stir. But now we have beings that are being, you know, incarnated and to some going, coming through someone like you, obviously, and your wife, which must be fun for them, you know, a fun game that, oh, goody, I don't have to, I can breathe.
Yeah.
I don't have to minimize myself or my light or what I know, and, you know, you're going to support that. And, you know, and by the way, David, how do you support that? How, what, do you find yourself adjusting your behavior to support their awareness?
One of the things that I find straight away in terms of adjusting behavior that any parent can often do is you might have one thing on your mind. You might be very upset, or your mind might be elsewhere, and then you're talking to your children. And the more sensitive the child is, they'll be picking up not only your verbal message, but your telepathic, your emotional one. And with children now, they're going to pick up that emotional, non-spoken message clearly. So if what you say physically misaligns, it's very confusing for them. So when I'm communicating with my children, what I try and do is make sure that the emotional and telepathic content of what I'm saying or showing them is fitting with what the words are. And this is something parents often have forgotten how to do. They're so used to saying one thing and meaning another with their adult friends, they forget that their children are going, "What do you mean? This is very confusing." So that's something simple that people can do straight away, is check, is what you really mean, what you're saying? And it's a much better way to communicate to your children, and more honest way to communicate with other people in general.
So that transparency that not only Barack Obama is talking about, but it's a sign of this new age, you're seeing you have to be that way more with the children then.
So it's good for you as well, because we were talking earlier about how to take advantage of this evolution and awakening that's going on. The more you actually behave that way, the less you disrupt your own internal energy flow, and you start to notice more of the spiritual aspects around you. You get more of that stable inner energy, which helps you deal with the adventures of life. So it's rather like your kids are there reminding you to do something that's very, very good for you. It's like, do it.
And one thing I wholeheartedly agree with that is that that the transparency is there anyway, and it was way back when. But again, I'm going to go back to there wasn't enough support or group agreement to hold that in place. Now most of the kids, even if you try to pretend that they're not, picking up what they know they're picking up, they don't care because they don't have the conditioning as much. Some still have it, but not as much of the accept me button, right? Accept me. They just in their head think, we know what you were thinking and what you're doing or your intentions are. That's enough for us, and then they just act accordingly, which I think is really cool. They're just not buying into it as much.
Well, this is I'll no doubt have to face when my children get a bit bigger and I'm trying to condition them to do things that I want, but they have their own ideas.
David, then you have to come, then we'll have another discussion. Yes, let's see how that's going. Now, one of the things I also want to tap into is you talk about, and if you can explain a little bit, with the no creative visualization.
Yeah, so this is a creative visualization, as you normally read it, is if you picture something in your mind, you can make it happen. And I've tried this personally quite a few different ways, and other people have tried it, and basically that doesn't work, but something else can. We were talking about energy flows and things coming into us. For example, an idea might come into your head, and that idea is like an energy form that's arrived inside you, and it then produces a visual image and a few feelings and an impetus to get on and do it. But let's get the horse in front of the cart, to use that expression. So that energy comes into you, and then you get the vision. It's not, you have a vision, and the energy pops up out of nowhere. And what I try to do with people is get them to notice the various energies and opportunities that are already coming into them and work with those forces, because they can turn that into tangible, real action that changes their world around them, instead of trying to visualize something which doesn't really have any energy behind it, because that ends up in daydreaming and a kind of wishful thinking. If you do work with creative visualization, it's fine if you're feeling an energy that's driving it forward, that's grounded, but the very heady stuff that people mostly do, in my experience, doesn't really get them anywhere, and then they have rude awakenings and a few painful experiences, and then get a bit disillusioned. So if that answers your question about what's going on in practice.
Yeah, it does, and I was really, again, brought it up because I really resonated with that, and when I read that, because it's so much, that mental plane, to me, also, it's so late on the chain, you have to go to that feeling, or the subtle energy, or that where is that energy flowing? And I think people are going to, I think that's the next wake-up, is to live perhaps more that way, is, where is that energy flow, or what are you feeling, that's letting you know the new direction or where you're to be going, instead of trying to think something into existence.
Well, we're trying to get people away from thinking things to existence, because it doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do these awakening practices, you begin to realize your intellectual brain is not in charge, but it's absolutely magnificent at convincing you that it is. It'll work very hard to convince you it's in charge, but that's a major part of the illusion we're going through. At a higher level, you're in charge, but the bit of you that's in charge has no physical brain, does not function that way. So when you over-intellectualize, you're not really connecting to the essence of what you are. And again, this is the message to be a little bit repetitive here that we're putting out, saying, you're now in a position to start to notice this an awful lot better than it was even a few years ago. For example, a lot of the very apparently negative energies we feel of credit crunch and things going wrong, that's a negative energy that's grounding the lighter energy that's coming into you. Because everything has to balance, and at the moment we're seeing a lot of the negative force, but if you just literally look through the top of your head, you'd also notice there was a very strong positive force being sucked into you to balance that out. And we're living through this change. And this is something you can tell the grandchildren. I went through it. It was different to anything we'd had before.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you can actually do it, whereas it might have been harder before. There's a lot of things happening. There's great information out there. And things are becoming very practical now. It's practical exercises you can do instead of theoretical ideas you can walk around with and probably not apply.
That's what I liked about the message of your book, is it was really about the practice, or the practical application, the doing it, the experience of it, over and over and over. And, it seems like this part of the awakening is really about, you have to do something. You have to start doing it, right? You have to feel differently. You have to,
You don't, it's kind of joke, you don't have to, but everything is being done to make sure you'll want to.
Yeah.
And you'll recognize it's in your own interest. So you can be as stubborn as you want. But when you get with the program, it's a pleasure. It's a joy. You've got a whole new strength about you and some extra skills as well.
Wonderfully put, David. That's a very good point. You want to. There is, like you said earlier, that hunger. You're naturally drawn towards it as a taste. It's something you just want to go towards more and more. Now, something I wanted to say, I love this part. Also, you talk about demystifying the super consciousness.
There are many ways we can put this. So let's put it simple. Really, there's only one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you do spiritual practices, you begin to realize that, firstly, we're all connected. And as you notice how connected we are, you begin to notice that we're so joined together, in the end, there's only one of us. But somehow we've done an amazing trick of splitting ourselves on this earth into whatever it is, 10 billion parts, I forget the amount of population. And you've got animal species and plant life and goodness knows what else. So there's lots of bits there. And when I talk about demystifying this super consciousness idea, people sometimes call this greater consciousness, this oneness, God. That's one name for it. And sometimes this God thing seems to give you a message to do this, that, and the other. But these messages should not be limited to coming through one individual or another, because when that happens it often gets a bit corrupted and then we end up having wars and all kinds of trouble. This is something we should connect to personally so that we have our own awareness. Rather like you were saying, the kids nowadays are getting their own independence. You should have your own independence of sensing that higher consciousness of what we all are. And when you sense this, it puts it into perspective, the pointlessness of often doing others down or killing your fellow man. It looks a bit ridiculous. It's like chopping off your own fingers. And as you get that awareness, it makes you realize a lot of the behavior that's causing trouble on the earth today is just pointless. But with a bit of awareness, you just wouldn't want to do it. You wouldn't be told not to. There's no laws. You can do what you want here, because in many ways you're in the most wonderful illusion, and that's a joke. You can't really break any laws. You're allowed to muck around to do exactly what you want. But as your awareness develops, you realize behaving better is in your own interest.
So in a sense that, now are you saying also that we have these, I don't like the word higher, but let's say more expanded states of consciousness that that remembers, let's say, beyond the ego personality?
Well, there are different names for it, and there are different levels of it. And the only way to have an intelligent conversation on that one is to be doing it with someone at the same moment and compare notes on what's happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because people try and intellectualize this and imagine it, and there's no point doing that. You've just got to actually do it, experience it. And if you're experiencing it at the same time as someone else, you'll have a common language. So this is a good example of the sensation of flying in an aircraft or swimming in a swimming pool can't be imagined. You've just got to go and do them. And that's the whole message, Go out there. Do the practice. It's really fun to start discovering all sorts of new and exciting things.
Because in a sense, you're saying, if we are all one and it's all one, we are those whatever co-creators or creators, or like you're saying, I agree, whatever belief system, then that super consciousness or God consciousness or God, to me, God is the life force animating energy. It is the stuff of everything. So I don't think it's
us. It is us.
It is us. Exactly. It is us. It's
We're actually trying to get a technical correction made here. In a lot of the more traditional religions, they talk about as God or the super consciousness or this higher power being something else that's beholden to. Trying to sort of get people to notice actually you're a part of it. But you're a part of it experiencing this amnesiac state with a lot of other forces that make you behave quite strangely. You can't be murderous and do people down in the heavens, but you can certainly do it down here. This is your chance to do it. You can behave as wildly and irrationally as you want. But ultimately, you are a part of that God. It's not separate from you.
It is you, right?
Exactly. It is you, and there's no getting out of that one. You can be as atheist as you like, but once you drop dead, you'll soon be corrected on that particular issue.
And I really want to chime in with what you were saying, too, about the language. I think we have to, somehow the language has to shift, or we need complexes of words or less words or different words, but to describe this, because so many people have emotional charge, they have major buttons on these words, so when you start hearing them, people start tuning out or shutting out, or no, it's this, or no, it's that.
Well, that's when we go into our imaginations and get lost in our intellect. But really, through this awakening we're going through, we're learning how to actually feel and experience the same things at the same time. So that, say, for example, if you were practicing a bit of mediumship with a friend of yours, you would then be connecting to and seeing the same spirit being. You'd be feeling that same energetic charge of that spirit being. And even though what you'd experience would be individual, because that's the wonderful thing about human beings, we can all experience stuff slightly differently, you'd still get a substantially similar experience, and it would be wrong to try and limit it to a certain form of words. You could describe it in a sort of general terms, but you shouldn't nail it down and say it is exactly this or exactly that, because
right.
everyone will have that slightly different experience, and that's why there are millions of us going round, so that we can achieve that depth of experience in this world.
Mm-hmm. And that will continue, though, right? That individuated expression, it seems like, right, even though we're aware of this oneness, we are to allow or, you know, I mean, it's going to happen anyway, but respect or tolerate or allow or celebrate the different takes on things or different expressions. Right?
Yes, it is happening, and it's happening right now, and that's why you're seeing so many people bursting out with wanting to try new things, wanting to take new directions in their lives, challenging their old values. It's happening right in front of us, and everyone is actually a part of it and is getting swept up in this. So we're trying to say enjoy it. It's like, in a funny way, we're on a ride at an amusement park here, and mm-hmm. we're going through, I don't know whether you call it a dip or an upswing, but either way, it's a fun experience that we should appreciate. We wanted to come here and experience being alive. Yet when you ask people, did you want to have this experience, you're not going to find too many people say, yes, I remember very clearly. It was a Tuesday afternoon. I wanted
mm-hmm.
to come to Earth. This is what I wanted to do. That's normally wiped away. But when you connect to that awakening power, you start to remember, yes, you did, and it makes your whole body tingle. It makes it feel an energy surge right through it, and just sitting in corners being sorry for ourselves, which is
mm-hmm.
a very great human ability.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think personally, I'm not sure your take on this, and then I see we have a caller, so we'll get to the caller number two. It seems as we're moving out of this learning lesson, I don't know, again, I think it's this conditioned response that everything was a learning lesson, it was so heavy. I think as we're moving out into more creativity, self-expression, more people are glad they're around for the ride. it's a little more appealing, David.
This is a funny thing about, if you spend your time saying hello to your friends in the heavens, like you might have deceased relatives or children who've yet to be born, they see it very differently to the way we do down here.
Yes.
And that's one of the things, when you sort of have a chat with them, they've got this whole different viewpoint. They see it as a game, a bit of fun.
Yeah.
You get very serious when you're here and you forget it was fun. And that's part of the whole adventure. It's like a good movie. You know, when you get serious and sucked into it, you say, oh, it's really great. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to that point, one of my expressions or gifts or services is a medium, psychic medium. And it's so interesting. A lot of times I will do readings for individuals in a family that haven't gotten along, or there's been major squabbles or rifts. And the person on the other dimension, the other side, is not in that space at all. I mean, and the person's like, that's impossible because they didn't like that, or they didn't like so-and-so, or my mom and him didn't get along. And I'm like, that's only happening on this level or this dimension. I said, believe me, let it go, because they're in bliss. They're not holding on to it. You know? Is that part of that, you know, kind of illusion or delusion, also these kind of emotional, mental rifts or dramas?
Right. You're opening the door in a whole other section that's very unique to the Great Simulator book. You can read very other books, but you won't find too much about this subject. And that is, down at the Earth level, there are a lot more, you might call them, elemental spirit forms. And these elemental spirit forms give you a lot of your personality, your experience down here, your desires. In a strong state, say, for example, these little spirit forms can give you addictions of one form or another.
Yes.
when I'd look at people's auras, for example, people who are on substance abuse like drugs or alcohol, you'd see certain types of presences with them and actually communicating with them, saying, have another drink or have another line of cocaine. This is what they've got communicating with them. And we're these very light entities, and we've come down into the playground of these lower spirit entities who give us our human personality, our human behavior. So, of course, when we drop dead, we let go of all of them and go back to our normal state, which is why it's then impossible to get on badly with someone or dislike someone, because you actually have lost that ability. You've come out of the playground of the lower elemental forms, which is where we are on Earth. And that's how we manage to behave the way we do so often. These sort of not nice to each other ways, because we're affected by these spirit forms. If that's adding another dimension to our conversation.
Yes, that really does. That helps. Let's see who is. Let's see, an international number. Hello, you're on the air with Awakenings.
Just listening.
Oh, just listening. Okay, if you've got a question, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah, well, that's good. International caller. We got a couple of people that emailed me that they're called in, but they're listening on the phone. So, got a lot in the chat and a lot listening by phone. What's great too about this, David, is people can listen on their phone. They can listen on a computer, but they can also be driving or doing errands and listening on the cell phone, which is great.
Well, it's good to do. To carry on just mentioning about the lower spirit forms, I first encountered these in any substantial way through doing a bit of ghost busting. And notice sometimes people would have presences in their houses which they didn't want, or individuals could be affected and suddenly find their behavior became sort of compulsively wild, and they were getting disturbing visions a lot. And clairvoyantly, I could see a lot of these lower spirit forms basically having fun, having a bit of a game. And the way of dealing with them was not to fight with them and treat them as nasty, evil things go away. It was treat them rather like children amusing themselves. And through a more sort of warm, loving way, you could get them to quieten down and back off. But as I saw more and more of these forms around, I began to realize that huge amounts of what people perceive as their own personalities was a construction. It was not them at all. And this is part of the wonderful illusion on Earth.
Like a thought form that you're talking about?
Yeah. But multiple ones. All of us are experiencing these thought forms, we call them, or these spirit forms affecting us. They affect our thoughts and our emotions. And because we don't relate to ourselves as that inner light, that inner presence, inner essence, whatever you call it, you end up defining yourself as these various thoughts and emotions. And that's a major part of the illusion one goes through. Which is a shock, of course, when you drop dead. That's why it takes a little while for you to be debriefed. You have to let go of what you thought you were. You often think you have thoughts and emotions. No, you're not. You heard them. You'd adopted them. But they're not you at all.
Mm-hmm.
So your choice, but not you.
To take them on. That's why, don't you think it's a good idea sometimes people, especially if you get in a mood, to say, like you said earlier, that noticing, I think it's so powerful, David. It's people to note, is this really, you know, am I wanting to have this thought? is this me, you know? Right?
It's also you probably were, but that's to get you to wake up. It doesn't mean you have to continue having it.
Okay,
you know? We put ourselves into these challenges, not necessarily to remain stuck in them, but to wake ourselves up. So when you're saying, like, am I having this thought or this emotion? See, example might be that often people in this world you only have to think about and suddenly you feel upset. And it's like, how's that happening? This reaction's become automated and your whole body jams up, and if you do that enough you get sick and start paying a lot of medical bills. over here in England, it's not too bad because we have a free healthcare system. But in the U.S., there's certainly a good financial reward to not giving yourself too many disturbing thoughts and letting them go through your body, because you just end up ill.
Yes, exactly.
So if you, as you're waking up, you start to notice these things happening. And if you can realize they're not you, but you wanted to experience it, that's how you get control of it. It's not by saying, that's not me and I don't want it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It continues. But if you realize it's having a bit of fun, it's like dipping your head into a pool of thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and all these are retained, right? In that, all those thought forms, you know, because that's part of creation, right? We keep co-creating them. So whether you...
Yes.
You know, like you said, entertain them and let them work upon you is really up to if somebody's really waking up and becoming more conscious.
Yeah. And to add another dimension, that when people talk about past life experiences, as we do go from one life to time to another, we're often picking up packets of these things from other existences and bringing them with us.
Mm-hmm.
So our behavior in one lifetime has often been established and built up over many lifetimes, and that's why it's often so hard to change. It's become very entrenched over that long period of time. And we're quite absorbed by it, and because we're wanting to do it, it's quite difficult often to say, I did want this. It's a bit odd, it's strange behavior, but I did want to feel it. For example, people who have excessively strong sexual desires. It's often fun for them, but to actually snap out of it, it's a difficult process to realize how it is unhealthy for them to overdo it. It's like their life has gone down one particular track at the expense of many other things.
Mm. So in a sense, that's now that, and you touch on that a little bit in the book, but so how not to get addicted, that seems to be part of this earth game, because you want to play in these different realms, but you don't, sometimes people, you know, they wear it, it becomes them.
Well, it's a thing, instead of saying how not to get addicted, it would be, it might occur or it might have already occurred. What is it teaching you when it happens?
Mm-hmm.
Because all of this is forcing you to develop a higher awareness to deal with it. Even in very simple things, such as the Alcoholics Anonymous movement, they get people to take a much greater responsibility for their own lives and what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
Bit by bit, they realize there is some higher power driving this whole thing, and as they relate to that, they get an inner strength and they're able to deal with the behavior they experience themselves driven to have, but they're able to snap out of it. So the challenges occur in order to get you to behave in a different way, get you to wake up, snap out of stuff.
And who is doing the challenges, though?
Well, this is essentially what we do ourselves. A story I often tell to people is, one day I was walking to work and grumbling to myself when I'd been arguing with my wife and not being a good parent, and this lovely son had recently been born, and what a bad parent, I could have been better. And then it struck me that the son now born, I'd seen in the spirit world for about 10 years previously. He must have known what he was getting to some extent. So I thought, well, come on, wake up. You know, it doesn't mean carrying on arguing with the wife. It means sort of wake up. But at least, to some extent, he must have seen what his parents were like before he got born. He must have had some idea.
Now, do you feel, though, David, that it's a vibrational frequency or resonant frequency that is... If we go beyond the personality or you know, as being that observer, if we go beyond that observer mode, are we, in a sense, would you say, matched up to what is the right frequency for us?
There isn't really a right frequency force, because what you'll find in all your life experiences is you're traveling between frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving from one to another.
Mm.
What we're doing here is increasing our dexterity, our ability to move between frequencies and states of consciousness. But even the most spiritually tuned in person you'll ever meet will be getting into lower states here and there. That will
mm-hmm.
happen. And it's what you do about it when you move into
mm.
those states. There is no one right way to be. It's that. How well do you navigate what happens to you?
Mm. So really, it's like an instrument, a violin or something. You want to how fluid you are.
Yeah, how much you can move around in it. And this is so much of what's happening to people now. They're actually learning how to move around in that state and experience different states of consciousness. And by and large, they're having fun doing it. It brings so much joy and meaning to their life. They do want to do it. Again,
mm-hmm.
to give some tips on easy ways of getting that to happen. If you're walking along down the street, see if you can walk more on your toes and with an unclenched body instead of your heels, because when you walk more on your toes, you ground better into the earth, and because you ground better, you then allow more of that inner light of what you are to get sucked in. We are, and there's a very powerful grounding machine of the earth, and it'll pull that energy right into your body. If you let
mm-hmm.
it do so, you can do things like that. Check your breathing. Get your breathing deeper into your body instead of doing the very shallow chest breathing that most of us do. And when you're breathing better, you feel that energy come in, and it does affect your consciousness. It uplifts you without any great effort because you're breathing deeper and more effortlessly.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the breathing is really, it sounds like, very important to draw that life force in, prana, if you will, or whatever term you want to.
Yeah. The reason that one is, I'll go at it from another angle. We all experience a natural intuition. And when we experience an intuition that something right, our gut reaction, our inner feeling something's right, our stomach muscles tend to relax.
Mm.
Whereas when we have an intuition that something's wrong or not aligned, incorrect, our stomach muscles tend to tighten.
Yeah.
And everyone would have felt that intuition occurring to them. What often happens to us most of the day, we've got our heads through programmed to have so many worrying and difficult thoughts that we're constantly sending very blocking messages down into our gut or our stomach, and it causes us to remain permanently clenched, so then we don't breathe properly. And it's as if we're having one long intuitive reaction that's saying, hey, come on here, you're just thinking a load of nonsense, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Winding yourself up. Whereas if you're actually just noticing nature around you, or just being more aware of people in a gentle way, by doing those simple things, you'll find you're not sending your intuition that corrupting signal all the time. Your stomach muscles relax more, and as a consequence, you can breathe deeper into your body, and it's no particular effort. So these are all the simple techniques we're trying to communicate with, getting them to put into practice, which makes them a lot more aware and a lot calmer and happier.
Mm-hmm. So, David, part of the great simulator and the exercises that you have in the book is, it sounds like, also is to put people back in touch with that body wisdom or intuition through the body. Because a lot, you're talking about the tightening, but a lot of people override that again with the mind.
Well, they can't. They can think they're overriding it, but.
Well, I mean, it still happens, but they don't listen. Right? I mean, and then they go back and say, oh, I should have, you know, I had that funny feeling. Let me tell you, I trust that. When I have that feeling, I just know, hold on, wait, go slow, more facts are needed, do not jump in. You know,
pay attention now.
Yes, exactly. Otherwise, it's going to be a wonderful story that you have later to tell.
You'll have another adventure.
That's right. Well, in this next few minutes, and I'm put in the chat, and also I want to say for those that are listening by phone or the other pod stations or iTunes that the Great Simulator you can get at greatsimulator.com. We did have a couple people in the chat that went to Amazon, but you didn't hear the top of the hour.
If you go to the website, there's a page there you can order it off, and ultimately, as I'm the supplier of it through one means or another, it all comes through me anyway,
in
one form or another. So if they're on the website, they can get hold of the book pretty easily and get it shipped out. We've got a good system now to get it to people. So that's why it's not on Amazon yet, but we'll soon have that particular one cracked.
Okay. Well, so they can go to www.greatsimulator.com.
It's listed there. You can see bits of the book and open the pages. They just won't sell you a copy for all sorts of irritating reasons, but that will be sorted out very soon.
Yeah.
So anyway, then get a book.
Yeah, it's great. And then Kurt in the chat said it looks like a fairly thick book, but I will say it reads really well and really easily. So don't be intimidated by the book. It's just, you know, a lot of wonderful little exercises to do that can integrate into your life.
It's a practical book that gives you instructions that you can follow, and they're done in a sufficiently generic way that most people can do them. What you should also be aware of when you're doing the exercises in the book is in a sort of a higher way, everyone who reads the book has contributed to it, has put a little bit of their own consciousness in.
Yeah.
Even though I might have been the one who typed it out, I was just tapping in on something greater. And everyone who reads it in their own way is a co-author of this, so they're reading their own messages back to them, mm-hmm. even though it was typed by someone else in an English dialect of sorts.
Yeah. Let's see, so somebody else has put, yeah, the book looks very thick. Yeah, not bad. You know, you guys, it's not like in school. It's not a school book. It's, trust me, it's not a textbook. It's very easy to digest. You could even do it with drinking tea or wine. You'll still be able to digest information after a couple of glasses of wine. it's great. It is.
You won't find anything in that that's difficult to understand, and everything there is laid out in practical ways so you can try experiencing it to yourself. Give you a bit of story about some things in the book. It's actually the second attempt to write that book. The first time I tried it, I wrote it all up and realized it needed some correction. So I gave it to an editor and gave the editor a check and said, here, could you tie this up and make it look good? And the editor took the money, worked on it for a few weeks, and then sent me back the money and said, I can't do this. This is... my brain locks up. It's like I'm not allowed to. So, well, that's odd. Do you know anyone else who can edit it? So we sent it to a second editor who had it for a little while and then said to me, I can't work on this book and I'm giving up editing for good. That's it. So we went to the third editor to work on this. And this time the third editor took the Word document that it was and covered it in those yellow highlighting marks, sent it back to me, at which point I said, this is too difficult, and gave up myself for several years. So that was the end of that for a while. Years later, I learned a few more things, and there was some more content in the book and way of making it simpler, better explained, better laid out. So wrote it all up again, this time quicker and a lot easier. Yeah. So we did this. And at this time, the people who edited it went reasonably well, and only one of them dropped dead subsequently.
Well, listen, I think this is part of the new paradigm, is like if people are overly picky of typos and such, because I can say this with my meditation book, focus on the content. We're to be integrating more of the right brain. So don't be overly left brain. Well, David, this has been great. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and staying up late. I know in the UK it's past your bedtime. But thank you so much for coming on Awakenings and sharing your awakened point of view and sharing your wonderful book, The Great Simulator. We really appreciate it.
Okay, and thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure being with you all tonight, or this afternoon, as it is where you are.
Yes, this afternoon for us and the evening for you. So those that have been tuned into Awakenings, we've been speaking with David McCready, the author of The Great Simulator. You can find out more information about David and his services, as well as how The Great Simulator works, at greatsimulator.com, and that's GreatSimulator, and also some amazing YouTube videos with the exercises, the processes in there. And as David said, his book is what everybody has put towards it in their reading, their consciousness, their energetic, I would say, matrix or flow. This goes also with Awakenings. Awakenings is that converging flow of all of us coming together in the succession of awakenings and sharing our insights, our understanding, dialoguing, giving support, and learning new tools, new ways of integrating this energy, not just individually, but collectively in our everyday living. So with that, I really want to thank all of the listeners, all the participants in the chat, and all of you that are listening via Cosmic Dimensions, iTunes, and the other podcast stations. Until next time, keep awake.